Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're doing something a little bit different.
A little unique, yeah.
Because our source material isn't a pile of articles. It's a deep dive into the person who, well, who usually co-hosts these kinds of conversations, Stephen Lukowski.
Captain Cranman himself.
Cranberry King, exactly.
That's right. For so many of you who follow KIC My Health Radio, Stephen is that voice you hear alongside Peter Mingles. I mean, they've done, what, about 100 shows?
At least.
Yeah, exploring the lives and careers of, you know, the heavy hitters in the natural ingredients business. But now, as they're looking towards 2026, Peter decided to flip the script.
He did. He took the interviewer and put him in the hot seat, made him the subject.
Exactly.
So our mission today is to pull out the most compelling parts of that talk. We really need to answer the question, who is Stephen Lukowski? What's the philosophy that drives him? And I mean, let's be honest, how did he build an identity so strong he actually wears a cape?
Well, to get there, you have to start with the show itself.
Yeah.
With KISE My Health. Because that really defines his current mission.
Okay.
So the groundwork was laid way back in 2012 when Peter Mingles founded Building Fortunes Radio. He was learning from some real industry veterans.
Mentors, right. People who sort of set the stage for what KISE would become.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're talking about figures like Jim Turner from Citizens for Health, who sadly passed in January 2022, and then James Gormley, the publisher, who we lost in August 2024.
And Gormley was the connection.
He was. Gormley was the one who first brought Stephen onto the show as a guest. And after Gormley passed away, Stephen saw this pattern. They were celebrating these giants of the industry, but only after they were gone.
And he wanted to change that.
He said, why don't we start a new series? Let's celebrate these super champions, these influential people, while they're still alive to hear it.
And that became KISC My Health. Mm. So KISC, that acronym, it was already there, but Stephen basically gave it a new soul.
He completely redefined it to stand for Key Influencers, Super Champions. The mission is right there in the name. It's all about acknowledging contribution.
Which, when you look at his story, makes perfect sense. That value system, it goes all the way back.
Way back.
Yeah.
To April 22nd, 1960, in Hamilton, Ontario. He was a middle child, and his family even considered him a miracle baby.
Why a miracle?
Because his mother had tragically lost two children before him. So you can imagine that really shaped the family dynamic.
Of course. And he grew up in Bradford, Ontario. I saw a fun little detail in the sources. He actually played baseball with Wayne Gretzky.
He did. A great tidbit. But the real profound influence came from his parents. His mom was a stay-at-home scratch cook chef.
So a focus on whole foods from the start.
Absolutely. And his father was this hardworking, deeply spiritual, entrepreneurial salesman. So the whole family was built around Christian values and what Stephen calls table lessons.
Table lessons. What does that mean exactly? What were those core pillars for him?
The basics were things like compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience. But his father boiled it down to four key pillars for success and, you know, for character.
Okay, what are they?
The power of persistence and perseverance, first. Then the critical importance of integrity. Third was community engagement. And fourth, the necessity of education. And these lessons, they were about to be tested hard.
This is where we get to the defining firestorm of his life, isn't it? Because it's one thing to hear about values, but it's another to see them forged in, well, in fire.
It was a true firestorm. His father faced this just unimaginable series of events. It started when Stephen was 37.
What happened?
It was catastrophic. At age 52, his dad had surgery for hardening of the arteries, and a severe blood clot developed. It just it got so bad that amputation was the only option.
Losing a leg, that alone is just devastating.
It is. But it got worse. His business partner saw this moment of vulnerability as an opportunity.
Oh, no.
He systematically drained all the cash out of the business bank accounts, sailed off to the Bahamas, and left Stephen's father completely bankrupt.
So at his lowest point physically, he's also wiped out financially by someone he trusted.
Completely. A betrayal that would crush most people.
And yet, his parents, they stayed married for 45 years. How did his father rebuild from that? From a wheelchair with no money.
That's the core lesson, right? Yeah. Perseverance. He was just so determined. He had friends bring him a computer and a printer. And right there from his wheelchair, he just started. He rebuilt his business dollar by dollar.
Why? What was the driving force?
His goal wasn't just profit. It was to remain a protector and provider for his family. He had to prove that this setback, this massive tragedy, wouldn't define him or his worth.
Wow. That kind of grit, it leaves a mark. So when Stephen reflects on all of that, the pain, the bankruptcy, the rebuilding, what's the one thing he took away that still drives him today?
It's a mantra, and it defines his entire career now. He says, don't chase the dollars, chase helping people. He saw firsthand what happens when money is the only goal.
And that connects right back to the KISC show. It's all about contribution. Okay, so let's pivot to his own journey. Before he found this passion, what was his path?
Well, academically, he was pretty diverse. Public school, then he learned French when the family moved to Montreal. He was a serious athlete, too.
Football, right?
Yep, played right up to the university level at golf. And even though he started slow, he graduated on the Dean's Honor List. Later even got a master's in education.
So a very solid foundation. But his career started somewhere completely different.
Totally different. His first job, and he says his last corporate job, was as an internal auditor for an appliance company. He was 24.
And he didn't like it.
Hated it.
Right.
Quickly decided that life wasn't for him and jumped into real estate for the next 10 years. And he's good at it. Very successful. Making over 100 grand a year, which at that time was, you know, a huge income.
That's a big decision point to have that kind of financial stability, especially after seeing what his father went through with bankruptcy and to walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. It requires some serious conviction. But he just said, it was not my passion. He wasn't fulfilling that deeper purpose. And that's when he discovered the botanical world.
How did that happen?
He saw some friends who were former tobacco farmers having huge success growing ginseng. And it just clicked for him. He saw the potential.
Still, that's a big leap from a stable market like real estate into agriculture.
It was a risk, for sure. But he saw the inherent value in botanicals. He connected with Canada's top ginseng grower, a guy named David Huffman, and that was his entry point into the nutraceutical industry, selling Canadian-grown ginseng.
So that pivot is what paved the way for the Cranberry King.
It set the stage.
Mm-hmm.
The cranberry part of the story started when he met a man named Doug Mann. Now, Doug's father had been on the Ocean Spray board, so there was a deep connection there.
And Doug was in the business.
He was. He was selling this whole fruit cranberry powder that was made from basically by-waste material. And Stephen became his Canadian distributor.
And this relationship, this is where the brand comes from. One of the most unique personal brands in the whole industry.
It is, but it was really born from tragedy. Doug Mann passed away at a young age from diabetes. To honor him, Stephen took his last name, Mann, added Cran to it, and became Cran Man.
So it was an intentional branding strategy.
Oh, absolutely. This was around 2013, 2014. He knew he had to stand out. He used the analogy, if you don't promote yourself, you're just winking in the dark. So he went all in. Red wardrobe, red shoes, and then...
the full suit, the cape.
The full Captain Cranman suit, cape and all, designed with help from a friend in theater.
Okay, but let's be real for a second. In an industry that's all about science, about clinical trials, doesn't showing up in a superhero cape risk making you seem, I don't know, less serious? How did he balance that?
That is the genius of it. He joined Fridor, which means Fruit of Gold, back in 2012 as a sales director. The Captain Cranman persona, that's the Trojan horse, it's the access point.
It makes him memorable.
Unforgettable. He'd use it on the phone. Tell Bob it's Captain Cranman calling. He said it just made people smile. It broke the ice.
And it stuck.
It really did. At one point, a leader at the company actually tried to get him to stop using the name, thought it was frivolous. But it was too late. The brand was too popular, too valuable. It just proved that authenticity works. Even if it comes with a cape, as long as the quality is there to back it up.
And the quality is key because his vision for Cranberry goes way beyond just, you know, the standard UTI support.
He sees zero waste. He looks at the entire cranberry and sees potential everywhere. Take oral health. He actually advocates for brushing your teeth with cranberry powder.
Really? How does that work?
The same anti-adhesion mechanism that works in the urinary tract, it works in the mouth. In vitro studies show it helps remove that bacterial biofilm, which freshens your breath.
That's a huge market right there. But there were two other uses that really stood out to me. Skincare was one.
Yeah, the Cranny Glow. He talks about taking just one drop from one seed of cranberry seed oil and applying it to your face. It's packed with nutrients.
And the other was gut health, using a part of the plant most people would just toss out.
The seed husk.
Yeah.
That material has insoluble proanthocyanins. It's got protein. It's perfect for prebiotic activity. That's why big companies like Garden of Life Organic are using it. He's fundamentally changing how people see the fruit. It's not a single-use ingredient.
But with that kind of innovation and demand, you get the low-quality players trying to cash in, which brings us to his fight to debunk the junk.
Absolutely. He says the market is flooded with cheap ingredients full of fillers. Pumice, stems, leaves, or just tons of maltodextrin, sometimes like 80 or 90% of the capsule.
It just dilutes the entire market and hurts consumer trust. So how does his company, Fridor, maintain integrity? It goes right back to his father's lesson.
They do it with incredibly rigorous testing. They use tools like CPS, PurityIQ, and NMR nuclear magnetic resonance.
Let's talk about NMR for a second. For you listening, this isn't your standard quality test. What does NMR actually show?
Think of it like a forensic fingerprint for the cranberry. It gives you the exact molecular profile. It can tell you with certainty if it's 100% whole fruit or if it's been cut with fillers like synthetic dyes or sugars.
It's an expensive test, I'm sure.
Very. But it goes right back to that ethos. Chase helping people. You invest in the quality to guarantee the integrity. He stresses that you have to buy from suppliers who control the entire process, from the field to the finished product.
And the FDA has given some validation here, right, with a qualified health claim.
They have. It was a game changer in 2021, 2022. But the claim is very specific. It requires a 500 milligram daily dose of cranberry fruit powder for UTI support.
Yeah.
And while he accepts that, he always stresses that all forms, juice, extract, powder, have these other benefits.
So his mission continues. When Peter asked him about the future, what did he say?
His commitment was just crystal clear. He said, he will be in the world of cranberry and wild blueberry up to my last breath. His focus is on the Canadian cranberry story and the world of polyphenols.
And the KISC My Health show. Its future is tied into that same idea of giving back, isn't it?
Yeah, the mission for 2026 is all about mentorship. The plan is to bring back the super champions they've already featured. But this time, they have to bring their mentees, their rising stars.
A literal passing of the torch.
It is. He's creating a pipeline to nurture the next generation of leaders. His advice to them was simple. Find a mentor. Be teachable. Follow your heart. And just like his father taught him, have persistence, perseverance, and a positive attitude.
You know, his whole journey is just this incredible example of turning personal setbacks into driving principles. He took the resilience he learned from his father's tragedy and applied it directly to supply chain integrity. It was never about the money. It was always about contribution.
And then he used that unforgettable Captain Cranmad brand to make sure that message of quality actually got heard.
And we really want to thank our corporate sponsors, Step Change Innovations and RFI Ingredients. By supporting this kind of deep dive, they help ensure that the valuable information that people like Stephen Champion actually reaches you, the consumer.
And that personal focus is why the KISC show works. You get a window into the person behind the product, the passion that's driving the industry.
As we wrap this up, Stephen left us with a thought that really sums up his entire career. He said, if you come in for a dollar sign, you're in the wrong business. This is a special industry. So for you, listening right now, what is the value you bring to your industry that goes beyond the dollar sign? And how are you today working to inspire that next generation to carry that mission forward?